20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I had to do a double check and a double take because we are back 2 days in a row with the one and only Justice Mosqueda, acmepackingcompany.com, J-U-M-O-S-Q on social media. And he is back because, Justice, we've got some big news, my friend.
Yeah, we do. I was writing a free agent article, was looking at young guys because we like to target young guys in free agency because we like to be young, and got a text from a special teams QC in the league, and it just said, rip Bisaccia. And I was like, no way. Because I was like, it's February 17th. There's no way this happened on February 17th. And then I checked Twitter and I'm like, maybe I'll get that free agency thing up on like Friday or something like that. There's bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah. Much, much bigger fish at the moment. Huge news. Just as we were talking yesterday of, you know, how we're in the doldrums and, you know, nothing going on right now. Well, boom, day later, Rich Bisaccia, no longer the special teams coordinator in Green Bay. Now this is a huge move. Justice, what I want to go over first is that I'll just put it this way. When Bill Huber of Packers on SI wrote his article up, he put in quotation marks, step down or the exact wording. I forget what it was, but this is an interesting dynamic. We were talking about it in the group chat as well of whether or not this is a situation where did Rich just do this on his own? He did not retire and per the press conference or the press release, he did not get fired. But was this the Packers pushing him out? Was this Rich doing this on his own? What were sort of the circumstances? Neither of us are going to have a perfect answer for this, but I'd love to know your overarching thoughts on it.
I mean, the couple of dudes, and they're not the guys I know aren't coordinators. They're either assistants or they're QC guys in the NFL. I know more college guys than I know the NFL guys, to be totally honest. The guys that I hit up have mostly been surprised when I try to figure out what happened. I don't think they know. The timing is the biggest thing and something that you cannot overlook. I would be very surprised if this was a decision that the Packers knew coming several weeks ahead of time, for a couple of reasons. One, store leaving, right? That's a big one. Pretty big domino, and we can get into that a little bit. The special teams coordinators who became available. I don't know if people realize this, because I know things get funky in Green Bay with like there's full staffs that have been announced, right? The Jets completely turned over their offensive staff. They've announced it. The Ravens have announced a complete staff. The Steelers have announced a complete staff, all that stuff. The Packers hold off until the last minute possible. So I think Packers fans might have a delayed view on how this coaching market works. Folks, every other job in the league at the special teams coordinator level has been filled. There's been 11 of these guys hired already this offseason.
Not great.
I put bullet points down on a document on purpose, so I don't get derailed. This boils down to Matt is now going into his fourth special teams coordinating search. It is February 17th, the week before the combine. Okay. The team is already having meetings about 2026, which I think, as far as the timing goes, that's not something I know, but is something I at least have my ears up, right? Yep. I'm like, oh, they started talking about 2026, and then Rich stepped down.
Yep.
Huh. Right? They're in a tough spot right now. There's not a lot of guys who are available and have done this job. This is a small rant, but like, there's not many people who do this in the world, like globally. Okay.
Yep.
Because the NFL has different special teams rules than college football does. And I know people are going to, I can feel the comments coming already. Why are you talking about college football? That is relevant because there's not very many people doing this.
There's not a pipeline. There's not a direct pipeline.
At any given time, there's about 80 people walking this earth who work in NFL special teams. That's it. That's it. And yep. 31 of those are guys who are locked up in jobs that the Packers can get blocked from interviewing, right? The sitting special teams coordinators out there in the NFL right now. So that doesn't leave you with a whole ton of options. As far as guys who have cycled out and stuff, there are some names. We can get into them if you want.
We'll get there.
I've seen people say like, oh, we need the Jeff Hafley. We need the Jeff Hafley of special teams. And I'm like, dude, the rules are so different in college. It's very much two different ecosystems. And there's not a whole ton of crossover. Like all of the special teams in football, high school, college, all of that, they all play by different rules than the NFL. The NFL is unique, and it's why guys get recycled. So there were 11 jobs that opened up in the NFL at special teams coordinator, at the coordinator level, okay? Eight of those were retreads that ended up getting hired. There's not a lot of people. There's just not a lot of
chairs. It's musical chairs.
Yeah, and the Packers, if you don't understand what the structure is for special teams coordinators, usually, well, you always have a number two, right? And that number two is usually the assistant special teams coach, okay?
It's basically Sith and apprentice rules from Star Wars. You have a master and you have an apprentice is basically what it is.
Yes, and then you have, if the team allows for it, right, you have a QC, a quality control coach.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Green Bay didn't have one until Rich came along, and then they had a quality control coach at special teams. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I remember they had two.
The beat made a big deal about this when I wrote the Bisaccia thing. They're like, he has a whole quality control coach. What do you mean that they're not investing in special teams? And I'm like, good God, like, oh my God, I'm gonna go on. No. Jeff Hafley has five more coaches than the Green Bay Packers had last year.
You're getting
also this beat. I've kept the numbers on this. This is the 19th coaching staff or front office change that the Packers have made this offseason, either someone in or someone out. Do you know how many of these the beat has actually gotten?
One.
And it was Spoon. Go read Spoon. Spoon does good work. Tell me you guys are tapped into this team, man. Can't remember where we were going on this rant. There's no pipeline right now. The Packers can't even do an internal promotion. You're having to – I don't know if they've started a search already, if they knew this was coming down the pike for like a week or – like I think they probably would have hired Storer.
Because when did Storer get hired? Like end of last week?
Yeah. I think they would have swapped out – if they had the options – I think they would have kept the structure because, we talked about the benefits of Rich and all those things. I think the team cares about the punt game. The team cares about kickoff. The Packers were very good in those two units. There's one team in the NFL that ranked better than them in those two units. If you look at the DVOA, obviously the kicker situation was wonky. Do whatever with the kicker situation you want. I thought it was crazy that Goot, when he was asked about it, was basically like, yeah, McManus played injured for a good amount of time. He's so tough. I'm not sure that's what fans wanted to hear about the situation. The return game, I think, is always going to be a concern for me just based off of just roster allocation when you're going to be this deep in the draft and development. But that's kind of how I see it right now. I've seen people float out like the AHC title thing and like wish casting Stoutland coming in. AHC isn't really a thing, man. AHC is really it's the same thing as run game coordinator, pass game coordinator. For the most part, you can allocate that power without giving the title. The title is usually the justification for going to ownership and saying, hey, we want to give this guy a raise, or we want to pay him more than we usually would pay an offensive line coach or a receivers coach or whatever it is. So like if they wanted to pay Stoutland a boatload of money and have him run their run game, they could have done it without dropping the AHC title. That's ridiculous. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You actually beat me to it. One of the next thing I was going to say is, I'm sure there's some people wondering, well, there's special teams coordinators out there, but you could give them the special teams coordinator and assistant head coaching role, so then you could coach them from other teams. No, it's not how it works. So
there's three tiers in the NFL, right? It's head coach, it's the coordinator, right? Offense, defense, special teams, not run game coordinator, pass game coordinator, not, all that stuff can get blocked. And then everyone else is an assistant coach. One thing that I learned this cycle, which I didn't realize, you can block assistant coaches from becoming positional coaches. So like the assistant quarterback's coach, you could block him for a quarterback's coach interview. Didn't realize that.
Interesting.
So it happened to one of my friends. Do you want to talk about where we go from here?
A couple things. I'll get there for sure, because I think that's what most people want to talk about. Just a couple things before we get there. The first is that this does feel to me at least a little bit caught off guard. I mean, Goody was through the roof in his praise for Rich. And, you know, even the question was asked, and then, you know, they said the whole like two more questions got asked. And then after it, which I've never done before, I was the one who followed up and said, what gives you the faith in Rich Bisaccia that you mentioned earlier? And then he like tripled down on it, you know, over and over again of how confident they were, what he's meant to the organization, the culture, everything like that, that, you know, if he had any inkling that this was coming, or maybe this was their, like his public pitch to Rich to come back, I don't know what it was, but if there was any inkling of like them wanting to move on, man, he had multiple options just to say, yep, Rich did a good job for us. You don't need to go that far in depth. And he went very, very far in depth.
Okay, we should talk about this now. This is completely speculative. This is not reporting. The beat does not get to put my name in the paper and call me a liar for this, okay? Here's a thing I think could have possibly happened. They started conversations about 2026. Andy, this is not something I pulled out of my ass. It is something that I have repeatedly said to you since the Gannon hire. It is going to be a lot harder to do the things that the Packers, because the Packers have basically learned two things that make their special teams much more efficient. And people are going to say, what do you mean much more efficient? We rank 30, all this stuff. We, before Rich, for two decades, we were the worst team in the NFL in special teams by double the next team. Okay. We are now at least, right? I mentioned, you can look at DVOA right now. Look at the kickoff and look at the punt. There's one team that is better than us in both of those units, and it was the Commanders this past year. We are by no means the Jets, who for some reason had like the best all-time special teams and were still a terrible football team, ended up with the second overall pick in the league. We figured out there's two ways that you can really use those 48-man game day roster spots and get a whole lot of return on those two coverage units. And it is allocating the fifth linebacker spot to a actual special team specialist, right? That's usually the Neiman role or the Welsh role if Neiman is hurt, right? That has been it. And then the other one is keep at least five safeties and use them all on special teams, right? So like all of our guys at safety play special teams. It's allowed us to rest guys like Tucker Kraft, all the tight, like we basically don't have any offensive players that play on special teams right now, which I'm sure Matt loves. I wonder if they started having those conversations about what 2026 looks like and roster construction. And I wonder if he was like, oh man, I really wasn't working with much before, and I don't really want to work with less. And the framing of stepping down and not retiring is really interesting to me too.
Yeah. So a couple things with Rich, again, we don't know the situation. This might've been a mutual thing. This might've been the Packers, you know, kind of pushing him out, which I don't think, but we don't know.
Yes.
Rich could add something personally come up, illness, health, family, whatever. So I'm not casting anything. We just don't know. I'm not trying to throw stones. I'm not trying to do anything. We simply don't know. But I will say if this was not a Packers push, and if there's no extenuating circumstances, family, health, whatever, I'll still say Rich can do what he wants. Like, he's got to look out for himself at the end of the day. But waiting until February 17th to make that decision is a huge kick in the nuts if that's ultimately what he did. And you would have to think that there would have to be some real frustration in Green Bay of like, you literally took until February 17th till every other coordinator, special teams coordinator position was filled, and then you decided to step down. Like, that is a brutal, brutal move. And again, I don't know all the circumstances. And again, it could have even been Green Bay pushing him out. So I'm not not saying anything. I'm just saying if it were that, that is a sucky situation.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. I want to make sure I was clear about this. The roster construction stuff. When I said that was harder, I can't remember if I said this. I think it's because of the transition potentially from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 defense. And the fact that you have to add the extra 300-pound body. If you look at what the rosters look like on game day for the Packers, when Joe Barry was our defensive coordinator, for example, like we almost never carried that fifth linebacker, right? So we're talking about a reduction in special teams allocation potentially when this team already did not do very much, right? And I know people are going to be like, Keyshawn Nixon, all this stuff. Like, he was a starting corner. That doesn't cost you anything from a roster construction standpoint. I want to get rid of this bullet point. Weefence as a term stinks. And that's it. That's the analysis on that one.
Death to Weefence. I am so, like, I swear to God, if they hire anybody and if I hear Weefence one more time, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems. This needs to be death to Weefence.
Matt pretending to care on the podium, saying Weefence and all this stuff, when he's also saying, like, yeah, I don't talk to the kicker, is like, don't lie to me, man. Have some pride.
He called it special teams on multiple occasions, and then like every once in a while would correct and be like, Weefence. Like, you could even tell it was almost like begrudgingly.
Unserious.
But dumbest thing ever.
I want to talk about guys who are no longer on the market, because I think this helps to understand.
Yep. And then we can look
why at this timing sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So eight guys were hired. Here are interesting names who kind of moved around this past offseason. Danny Smith from Tampa. He was When I poked around at the beginning of the offseason, I started asking special teams guys, and I was like, who's available who would be like big names, right? The two that were consistently pointed out to me were Danny Smith and Jeff Rogers. We'll get into Jeff Rogers in a sec. Danny Smith crossed over with Matt in Washington. Okay? So that's one. He's hired by the Buffalo Bills now. Craig Aukerman was the special teams coordinator in Miami for Mike McDaniel, who's a close friend with Matt. They crossed over when they were in Tennessee, and now he's the special teams coordinator in Atlanta. So, boom. Those two guys who have connections with Matt that would probably have been at the top of our list, right, who are now crossed off. John Fossil was the special teams coordinator with the Rams. He's not available. He got retained under Robert Saleh, who is the crossovers, folks. Are we seeing the crossovers? He also got the AHC title bump. He used to be the coordinator, and now he's coordinator and AHC. Jeff Rogers, he was Gannon's assistant head coach and special teams coordinator in Arizona, and he signed with Buffalo. I think I said Danny Smith signed with Buffalo. He's in Tampa. The other guy, and I had forgotten about him until someone pointed him out, because he actually didn't change jobs. Michael Clay from Philadelphia was like the special teams version of Brian Flores, where like his contract expired. He started shopping around. Tampa Bay actually poked at him. Let's say poked at him, because I don't know when he was officially available and all that stuff. I mean, tampering happens in the NFL. But Tampa Bay was interested in him before they ended up going in the other direction. So we're talking about five big names, or really four big names, because not Fossil, that the Packers could have signed, and three of them had connections, or four of them had connections with either Gannon or Matt LaFleur. Michael Clay, by the way, was the special teams coordinator when Rich Gannon was in Philadelphia. Okay, so
when Jonathan Gannon was in
Philadelphia. Jonathan Gannon, did I call him Rich Gannon?
Yes. So we're
it's my first. It's my first one.
Former quarterback and a combination of Rich Bisaccia and Jonathan Gannon. Beautiful on both ends.
So Danny Smith in Tampa, Craig Aukerman in Atlanta, Jeff Rogers in Buffalo, Michael Clay in Philadelphia. Those were all guys who are very highly respected in the league and have ties to either LaFleur or Gannon. Again, if you want me to believe that they just waited until February 17th to make this decision, it's going to be a tough sell. I'm open to the possibility of it, but it's going to be a tough sell. League-wide, there are only two assistants who got promoted into the coordinator role. One of them was Storer, who we just talked about. He was the Packers' number two under Bisaccia. Storer had been with Bisaccia since 2010. I think they had been four spots together at the NFL level. The only college to NFL drop, and I say this like extremely, or jump, I say this extremely tongue-in-cheek, Joe DeCalmis?
DeCamillis?
DeCamillis, yes. Yeah. I knew I was going to butcher it. I knew I was going to butcher it. He had spent 30 years in the NFL as a special teams coordinator and was in South Carolina. South Carolina is relevant if you know anything about college football, right? Shane Beamer is the head coach there. His father, Frank Beamer, was the guy who just tried to win football games off of defense and special teams. They called it Beamer Ball. There's the famous screen cap of him going to overtime, throwing his hands up because it's a 0-0 tie. Like, that's the type of sicko that this dude was. His son, that's the guy that he hired, right? And DeCamillis is now with the Raiders. So there's not a lot of if we want to talk about college stuff, right? There's not a lot of crossover league wide. There are only three guys sitting in coordinator roles right now who directly got into these coordinator roles after a stint in college. They are DeCamillis, who, again, he's an NFL guy. He spent 30 years as a special teams. I'm not going to call him a college guy because he was in South Carolina and was getting paid a boatload of money. Jay Harbaugh, who was an NFL guy, and then his dad took the Michigan job, and he went there in Michigan, and then he moved up with McDonald, who, by the way, was at Michigan. So, like, anything involving the Michigan staff, I don't think you get a call it. College operation.
College guy.
That was an NFL operation that has already just been directly assimilated into the NFL.
Yep.
The only true college guy is Brian Mason from the Indianapolis Colts. So they're one of 31 guys in the NFL are college guys before getting this gig. So I'm assuming the Packers are going to be looking at an NFL guy, not a college guy. Because again, these are almost two completely separate divorced bubbles. There are some NFL guys. I don't know if you want to talk about them. I poked around on them a little bit.
Nothing. Yeah, I have some names too. We can cross examine the names that we both have.
Okay. So there are four guys currently in the NFL, or currently not in the NFL right now, who were special teams coordinators in 2025 who are still available. That's it. Yep. Right. 28 of 20, or what is it? 27. The other 27 guys in the league were all in the NFL before last season. It's Tim McMahon, who was fired midseason by the Raiders. Chase Blackburn, who was fired midseason by the Rams, which everyone pointed to and said, look, the Rams are doing this thing. The Rams are doing this thing. And then they were still bad under the interim. They fumbled the punt in the playoff loss, all that stuff. Dude, if we hire Blackburn, the guy McVay fired, oh my God, it's going to get crazy. Thomas McGaughey, I believe is how you say his name. Haven't heard it out loud. He was fired by the Buccaneers after this season. And then so the
fired.
Yes. He was big game hunting. Or Tampa was big game hunting after him, right? So yeah. They looked at Michael Clay. They looked at Danny Smith, all that stuff. And then the last guy, Marquise Williams, who was not retained by Stefanski. So he's the one guy who wasn't fired by the head coach who hired him. Okay? It's just Marquise Williams. Here's the interesting thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep.
Here's the interesting thing about Marquise Williams. He was the special teams coordinator for both Arthur Smith and Raheem Morris in Atlanta.
Connections.
Those are both LaFleur's buddies.
Yep.
Right? So, interesting to think about that one.
They've also had bad special teams in Atlanta for pretty much every year that he was there.
I assume all the options out there right now are if you're a veteran, it's been bad.
Yeah.
DVOA there were 11 hires.
EPA was bad. PFF grade bad. All of it. It was not great in Atlanta during the
We're making the 12th hire a week, minimum a week before the combine. Hey,
the good news is they can take their time on this special. They can take as much time as they want. They're not going to get poached by anybody else in the league. They can drag this search on as long as they possibly want because nobody else is going to hire anybody else that they could possibly hire at this point. We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's time to shoot your shot on Prize Picks and get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's right. Prize Picks is now giving you $50 in lineups when you sign up and play your first $5 lineup. Now, Prize Picks makes every dunk, every dime, and every board that much more exciting. So don't miss this chance to get started on America's number one app for sports picks. And yes, Prize Picks is available here in Wisconsin. I've been picking more or less every week and have never looked back. Make sure to check if Prize Picks is available in your area today, and it probably is. They're available in 50 states. Now, Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. This week, I'm going with some basketball and hockey. Tyrese Maxey, Connor McDavid, Cade Cunningham, all three are going to be in my lineups this week. I can't wait. And guess what? Baseball season is going to be here before you know it as well. So it's time to join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports picks app. And Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. So download that Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
I guess. There are a couple more names who were out of football in 2025, but were coordinators in 2024. Matthew Smiley, who was actually the coordinator in Buffalo when Corey Harkey was there. Corey Harkey is our QC. He is the last man left in the three-man special teams room in Green Bay. Nate Cazor?
Okay.
K-A-C-Z-O-R?
Katzmoyer? Katzmoyer? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. He's currently Stanford special teams coordinator. College guys mean, hey, there's going to be a buyout involved. By the way, the Raiders were willing to pay the buyout for the South Carolina guy. They're willing to just burn all the money in the world right now.
Yep.
Keith Armstrong, who was with Matt in Atlanta, but hasn't coached in the NFL since his firing in 2024. So that's another guy to watch. Brian Schneider, who's currently the assistant special teams coach in Washington. Obviously, Matt and Quinn have a little bit of crossover there. He was a former San Francisco, Seattle, Jacksonville, and Raiders special teams coordinator. He's really a Pete Carroll guy. If you look at it, he kind of followed Pete Carroll around, got in with the Raiders with Lane Kiffin and all that stuff. Not surprised that, you know, he ended up landing in San Francisco for a little bit. Again, like the defensive side of San Francisco's tree has a lot of crossover with like Quinn and stuff and Pete Carroll, all those guys. So there are four more names. Do I know if any of them are good? No. The ones with the connections with Matt are Marquise Williams, Keith Armstrong, and Brian Schneider. If that's worth anything, you can look at the guys that we hired in other positions. And I think we're probably trending into Matt hiring someone he either knows or someone that he knows says is good territory, because that's just kind of generally what he does. We promoted Getsy at quarterbacks coach, right? The wide receivers coach that we brought in was a guy who was on one of the fellowships in Green Bay in a previous spring or summer. I can't remember the timing of that. Our linebackers coached under Gannon. Our DBs coach was part of that San Francisco tree. There's a lot of crossover with Matt, Kyle Shanahan, Sala, Raheem Moore, anyone who's been there on defense. I mean, Halfley in San Francisco. And then Babich is a guy that Matt has previously interviewed and is part of quarterback collective, all that stuff, which he's very tied into. And then Gannon is same representation. They probably cross paths a lot of ways, and they're both very close with Matt Eberflus. So if you go down the line, it's like, relatively like guy he knew. So I'm probably going to focus on guy he knew. Now, they absolutely could just go hire like whoever Kyle Shanahan's assistant special.
No, they cannot. I looked at that.
They can't.
Well, they can, but it's Colt Anderson who had like the 32nd ranked special teams in, I think it was with the Tennessee Titans in his 1 year as special teams coordinator, and immediately got canned. Like it was so bad that they canned him and it was ugly. I actually looked, I looked at the top special teams and I was like doing research on Cole Anderson. Of course, he was a long time special teams player. I'm like, well, this is promising. He got hired in San Francisco in 2025. They took a huge, as the assistant special teams coordinator, San Fran took a huge jump in 2025 in special teams rankings. I'm like, oh, this is looking promising. What did he do in 2024? Oh, he got immediately fired in his 1 year as special teams coordinator because it was the worst special teams in the league by far. So no, they cannot do that.
One thing I've been told sarcastically is hire Darren Bates I don't know if you're aware of who Darren Bates is.
Darren the name Bates. Is really familiar, but I can't place it.
He runs a podcast called Raw Room at the same time as being the assistant special teams coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. He is a very loud and animated guy, very goofy, big screamer.
Former special teams coach, right?
He is a special teams assistant special teams coach of the Carolina Panthers. Was on the Titans team that Matt LaFleur coached, but he was on the defensive side. That is mostly said tongue in cheek. If we just hire a podcaster as special teams coach, that would be hilarious.
Unless it's you, then in that case, I will accept it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do it. Also, I have no experience doing this stuff. I want to talk about the differences between college special teams and NFL special teams.
Well, actually, this is a good transition to that because I have a list of names I want to go over too. But you mentioned in group chat Pete Lembo.
Yes.
Talk about him, and then maybe within that, again, talk about a little bit of why this transition's tough.
Yes. Okay. So Pete Lembo was the guy before the Raiders guy in South Carolina. He was assistant head coach and special teams coordinator underneath Shane Beamer. He doesn't have experience in the NFL. If there is a Jeff Hafley type of head coach turns into Packers special teams coordinator situation, this is what it looks like. He's in Buffalo. The Mac is not doing good, guys. The Mac isn't what it used to be. It used to be a stepping stone for coaches. Now these coaches are basically trapped there. And a lot of them are leaving for coordinator level jobs elsewhere in college football. I don't know if you guys paid attention recently. Northern Illinois was like, nah, I'm good. I'll go play in the Mountain West from the Mac. The Mac is now taking money to bring up Sac State, a not a good FCS program, to come play in the Mac. So if this is I want to reset my coaching clock somewhere else and maybe be better in a better position 2 years down the line, right? I'm making a play for the future instead of the present.
Yep.
Maybe Lembo leaves Buffalo as head coach and becomes special teams coordinator. That was a name I floated when I asked college guys. There are really three names that came up. Two college guys hit me back by the time of this recording. It was two and two. So one guy got two votes. The other two got one. Lembo is one of the three college guys. The reason why it's tough for college guys, the NFL is very insular. They don't like it if you haven't ever either played or coached in the league, because the culture is very different from the NFL. At special teams specifically, it's a totally different ballgame. So the kickoff, you guys understand, right? It's the old kickoff is what college football runs. The new kickoff is what the NFL is doing. Even on field goal team, the hashes are so much wider that a lot of times you see the unbalanced sets and stuff like that. It's a little bit different for that. But the huge difference is punt team, which is what Matt said is the most important thing to him, right? He's said that in pressers when he talks about special teams. Essentially, in the NFL, the only guys who can go downfield before the punt actually hits the punter's foot are the gunners, the two guys on the outside. In college football, everyone is a gunner. Anyone is allowed to leave the line of scrimmage as soon as that ball is snapped. So that is why you see those weird rugby kicks. It's why they got all these Aussies who hold on to the ball forever. It's why the backfield, right? So the Packers, they'll use their safeties and running backs in protection on punt behind what you think of as the offensive line, right?
Yep.
In college football, those are your defensive tackles, because those are the only guys who are actually blocking the punt for the most part. Totally different. That is by far the biggest difference between the college and NFL level.
Are extra points still at the 3-yard line too, or whatever?
I think it's a difference because they
not that it matters. But.
Yeah, I think Miami has two different lines on their field for the extra points and stuff. The other two guys I'll mention as potential college guys who can move up. Mike Reed from Clemson, he is the third highest paid special teams coordinator in college football, or at least was last year. He has previous background with the Philadelphia Eagles. He worked under John Harbaugh and Dave Toome. He was kind of part of that ecosystem in Philadelphia and under Andy Reid. Yeah, pretty good names if you want to be associated with special teams. So Mike Reed is a guy to pay attention to. The other one is LeVar Woods, who's at Michigan State. He was at Iowa forever. ever. Just left for Michigan State. He hasn't been in the NFL, but he played in the NFL, which probably matters. He was the fifth highest paid special teams coordinator in college football last year. DeCamillis, by the way, was another top five guy. He was getting paid a lot.
Had LeVar Woods on my list as well. Michigan State assistant head coach and special teams coordinator. Like you said, just got hired special teams coordinator at Iowa from 2018 to 2025.
Yep. But you got to pay all these buyouts. I don't know how it worked at BC. BC is weird because they are a private institution. If they were not a private institution, we probably could afford, like, it would have cost us like $500 or $200 to $500 probably. We could have FOIA'd them and figured out if the Packers paid a buyout for Halfley to be hired as DC, or if they just wanted to let him walk. I mean, Halfley was really in kind of in a sitting duck type of situation in BC.
Right.
When all that stuff happened, Chip Kelly was in a similar situation. That's why he left being the head coach at UCLA to be the OC at Ohio State. These colleges would probably make us pay. They would probably make us pay the buyout to hire one of these guys. So
I would think so too. You don't have any interest. You failed a Packers connection with the current Citadel head coach.
Maurice Drayton.
Mo Drayton, baby, bring it back.
The Citadel has not been doing well under him. I'm not looking at it, Andy. I'm gonna guess. I looked it up earlier. I think he was 9-26.
Oh boy,
did I get it right?
I'm not looking at it. I don't even want
to. I'll look it up then. I think it's like 9-26, and he might have offered his first year. It's not been a good situation there.
Just looking at this, by the way.
It is 9-26, and he went 0-11 his first year at the Citadel, which is
amazing, by the way. Packers special teams coordinator history. John Bonamago, Mike Stock, Sean Slocum, Ron Zook, Sean Menenga, Mo Drayton, Rich Bisaccia. Whew.
Yeah, and some of those, some of that stuff was crazy. Like, Menenga's, he was a coordinator for 1 year at the college level at Vanderbilt, and that team was a sub-500 team. And then wasn't Drayton part of Menenga's staff, and we just internally promoted him?
He was the assistant.
Yeah, he was the number two, and we just promoted him. I was just going to say, like, it's going to be a hard sell for me to think this team cares that much about special teams, or that they kind of saw this coming. Like, I find it really hard to believe they got into these 2026 meetings and were like, we're going to invest so much in special teams. And Rich was like, dang, but I have to get out of here.
It should be noted too, that Rich almost retired last year. Like, he almost retired, and then they talked him into coming back and gave him the extension.
The second year they had to give him the assistant head coach title. Which I don't think the title means anything. I think the pay, like, they might have had to pay him to stay for year two.
There's a piece of me that wonders if this was a sort of Bisaccia, sort of Brett Favre-ian type of play, where it's like he's like, yeah, you know what, I think I'm gonna hang it up, guys. And he was maybe hoping for like, oh no, Rich, we'll give you another pay raise. Don't go anywhere. And the Packers are like, oh, okay. Best of luck, my friend. And like, they didn't have any, you know, inclination to keep him after that. I don't think that's probably the case, but it would be interesting if he, for kind of like the third consecutive year, is like, yep, you know, going to leave, and was maybe hoping for maybe one more raise, and Green Bay's just like, nah, we're good. Again, I don't think so, but you never know.
As far as recruiting a special teams coordinator, right? The big things are going to be money, right? Support, which I don't like. I think they're way more willing to spend the money than spending the support from a roster construction standpoint. And then job security, which job security kind of cuts in both directions, because Matt just got an extension, which would be looked at as a good thing. But Matt is on his fourth special teams coordinator search since 2019, and that is not a good thing. And the Packers historically have, they've just let special teams coordinators be lambs led to slaughter.
The fall guy more often than not, despite it being a decades long problem for sure. All right. Other names that I have
decades, multiple decades, like
predating
multiple decades. We were Moody, the worst team in the NFL by double. Yeah.
Oy vey. All right. Other names out of my list. Devin Fitzsimmons, Seahawks assistant special teams coach, has been a longtime assistant special teams coach in the league. Seahawks had one of the best special teams, if not the best special teams, a year ago. He's also served in that role with the Panthers and the Cardinals as well. No connections that I could tell. Jet Modkins is the Lions assistant special teams coach. He is his fifth year in that position. Lions have generally had solid special teams, not anything crazy, but pretty solid overall. TJ Weist is the Giants' new special teams assistant. He came over from the Ravens, who served in that role with the, you know, John Harbaugh, obviously head coach, who has got the special teams background. He's been with Harbaugh with the Ravens since 2019, and now again went over with him with the Giants in an assistant special teams role over there. Jeff Banks, you mentioned the high paid assistant or special teams coordinators in college. Right? Yes, he is apparently the highest paid special teams coordinator and assistant head coach at Texas, and apparently has been sought after in the past by NFL teams. I think he's turned it down. I can't imagine he's going to, you know,
Green Bay's going to be the one. I don't think he's ever been in the league before. I mean, he wasn't brought up either. When I know who he is, but he wasn't brought up when I talked to the college guys about it.
Yep. So that was the other one. And then we should at least mention, while I think it would be a really bad idea, you mentioned his name earlier. Corey Harkey is the remaining coach.
You can't do it. You can't jump all the way from QC.
I don't think so either.
That's not how this thing usually happens, man.
Yes. Like, it would be a nightmare. I agree. Oh, go ahead.
The NFL structure, you have the coordinator, you have the assistant coach, and then probably half of the teams, maybe more than half, have the quality control guy, right? And it's really a 1-2-3 type of operation. The guys in that second spot, league-wide in the NFL, there's only two of those guys who got the job from the number two spot to the number one spot, league-wide.
This offseason, yeah.
So for a guy to jump from the third spot to the first spot would be nuts. I'd be interested to know when the last time that happened, because I don't know when the last time that happened.
The other completely off the wall one, which again, I don't think is very likely. Chad Morton, who is a former receiver, running back, returner, kick returner, was a Packers coaching admin in 2009. Was the Packers assistant special teams coach 2010 to 2013 and the Seahawks assistant special teams coach in 2014, but has since been a running backs coach from 2015 till current. He has not done anything special teams since 2014. I think that would be a crazy off the wall one, has. What's that?
Good pull.
Yeah.
Never even thought to, how'd you find him?
You want to know how I found him?
Go for it.
I searched Chad Morton. Because I thought he was a special teams coordinator, and maybe I just had it in my head from him being an assistant special teams coordinator in Green Bay. So here's the one that really pissed me off. Well, first of all, Chris Banjo, I knew, but he is in the special teams role with the Jets. Anthony Levine, I saw last week or 2 weeks ago, got a special teams job. I swore it was an assistant special teams job. I'm like, that would be awesome. Like, he'd be such a great fit. He got a legit, I think with the Ravens, he's their special teams coordinator. So he got that job. And then like the other name that came to mind as like a former, you know, big time special teams player and somebody that I thought had been a special teams coach was Chad Morton. I honestly, when I searched it, I expected him to be in a special teams coordinator role already. And then I just looked it up and I'm like, no, he's never been. He's been in running back roles.
Interview him. You can interview him without getting it blocked.
Yeah.
So that is funny. I mean, if they think
it would be a complete off the wall. Like, I don't, you know, again, he hasn't even been doing special teams since 2014, but he was a career like special teams guy primarily. Yeah. And again, he's done it in Green Bay. It would be just, again, like I said, totally off the wall. That was my list of coaches.
It's going to be really hard for me to believe that Danny Smith, Jeff Rogers, Michael Clay were all available and the Packers waited until February 17th to put the pressure on Bisaccia to step down and not say that he retired.
What a mistake if they did. I'm with you. I don't think that was the case. You know, again, weird things can happen. Maybe they were in meetings and Rich wanted to go one way with teams and Matt and everyone else is like, no, we can't do that. And there was just a difference of opinion. Maybe Rich did say, hey, I want a raise. I want something. And Green Bay's like, no, we're not doing that.
Well, free agency stuff is coming up soon too. Like free agency starts in like 3 weeks, right? So if it's like, we don't think we're going to bring, like Mosby was always like a part-time guy, for him, right? But if it's like, oh, Mosby, Fitzpatrick, Wiley, like Brooks, Zane Anderson, like there's a lot of pressure points where it's like, if they don't want to, then they can just kind of, they can go from like semi caring about special teams to completely not caring about special teams in like one off season with just letting like those UFAs.
Dude, but if, you know, you have to think about, if they do that, they're going to go from like 30th to 32nd in special teams.
People do not realize the gap. They do not realize that gap. When I'm like, dude, they're like, again, there was one team in DVOA that was better than them on kickoff and punt, which are pretty much the two areas that they care about.
They care.
They care about the they care about the field goal game too, the kicker situation too, whatever with it, with you want, if you want to come and fan us to it. But they were genuinely good on punt and kickoffs, and they can just be bad at that.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me a little bit of the Joe Barry situation when they were, all the other teams had found their defensive coordinators and Green Bay was left picking through Jim Leonard, Joe Barry, and Ejiro Evero. And they had good, I mean, I think they wanted Leonard. It sounds like he kind of pulled away, and then they could have got Evero, who would have been a good hire, and they just made the wrong hire. But it reminds me a little bit of that. By the way, Storr was literally 7 days ago, February 10th, that they hired.
Like a week. Yeah.
Yeah. It was literally a week ago. So yeah. Just some, you know, ranking richest time in Green Bay, Packers on SI, Bill Huber does the special teams ranking. He had them ranked 17th this year, 27th the year before that, 22nd and 20th, or maybe I have those in reverse order, but overall no better than 17th in any year, as bad as 27th. As you've mentioned on numerous occasions, not just today, but in the past, they've punted well, they've covered punts well, they've covered kicks pretty well. Everything else, you know, kicker again, like I think you've put it perfectly. That's like, yeah, a contractor basically. And
yeah, they're independent contractors. I mean, they're really not spending that, like they're like golfers, right? Like they have like their own like personal, like basically like a swing coach and all this stuff. Again, if you want to move off of McManus, move off of McManus. That nothing
to do with Bisaccia.
Skin off anybody. Me. I do not, yeah, do with that whatever you want. I will say, we don't know if they had started this coaching search already, right? But potentially starting a coaching search on February 17th, when there's a giant NFL-wide collusion meeting that is about to happen about free agency in the combine next week, is not great timing if you want to move off of McManus or sign any other contributing special teamer this offseason. So that's not great.
No.
If you want to get involved in those talks, you probably got to make a decision quick. I want to look up, when did the Jags hire Trent Baalke?
Oh God. That I don't know.
Fire I meant.
Well, you look up that. The one other stat I wanted to bring up is the Packers were 10th in most special teams penalties this past year. They were 11th the year before and 2nd the year before that. So special teams penalties in the Bisaccia era have also been bad. And so those are all things that whatever new special teams coordinator comes in is going to have to try to find a way to fix with limited resources, et cetera.
Yeah, they were all right in special teams penalties this past year. The thing I think Packers fans saw was just the return rate is so much higher. And I think the NFL, it was close to 40% increase in special teams penalties. The NFL loves that the dynamic kickoff is getting eyes on it, even if it takes penalties. They don't like, you don't like watching penalties? They don't really care. As long as you're not getting off your butt to, you know, go grab a beer and you're watching commercials in between drives, they're happy. Baalke was fired last year, January 22nd. And the Jaguars were like, that is so late. You can't make these type of, you know, decisions this late in the offseason, all this stuff. It really hurt them this past offseason. We're making a decision, and obviously they're different roles, but we're making a decision a month after that. That's nuts. That's nuts.
Saturday, January 10th was when the Packers lost to the Bears. Saturday, January 10th. Like that is...
Yeah.
It is a full month and a week after that loss. We're like, listen, if Rich needs
love to be a fly on the wall to know what happened in those meetings, man.
I do wonder if we get something on it eventually. I scoured Huber's article, Silverstein's article, Domovsky's article, see if there was any other than Huber's quotes on, you know, on the headline. That was the only hint of anything that
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know where the fan base is. I don't know if the fan base thinks that this was a Matt decision and he forced his hand, all this stuff. I really don't think it's that. I really don't.
I don't think it is either.
The timing is way too weird. It puts them in too bad of a spot.
If there's like a hire to like to, on Wednesday, as people are listening to this, if like, oh, Packers have hired special teams coordinator so-and-so on Wednesday, I'd be like, okay, that he was maybe forced out of that. Yeah.
I haven't closed the door on it. And again, it's not anything that I've heard other than what I've heard is just genuine surprise from people. Yeah. But yeah, if the Packers are like assistant head coach Jeff Stoutland and we hired Mike Reed from Clemson to be the the special teams coordinator. Okay. Like, oh, okay. You have now sold me. But it would take something like that to sell me on this being.
Don't tell me it's a good time of hiring a top college coordinator and getting Stoutland as offensive line coach. That'd be a night. Well, we'll talk again tomorrow if that's the case, Justice, and talk about those two things. A couple other things I just wanted to go through. And then if you have anything else, we can go through it too. But I do feel like there's a couple things that Bisaccia got through to the Packers. And I think it was playing a little bit more of starters on teams. You mentioned a couple of the other ones earlier as well, the safeties, the extra linebacker, et cetera. And we talked about it earlier where they did add the, you know, quality control coach and just having an extra name or extra, you know, person in that role as well. I do hope some of that continues to resonate in Green Bay of like, you know, I think he really pushed as hard as he could, Bisaccia, to try to get as many resources, both personnel-wise and staff-wise and time-wise. And
that's the job as a special teams coordinator. Yes. Like that's really what you want to look at the best guys at the special teams coordinator gigs. They're the guys who convince their head coaches to let them use the players. Like it's
and more time and more practice time, all of it. Yep. Yeah. So I do hope that some of that will continue to resonate no matter what happens and who, you know, who the new special teams coach is. I certainly hope it doesn't go in the opposite direction. Is there anything outside the obvious of doing more of that and bringing in a returner and just hoping the kicker makes kicks that you feel like is going to actually long-term fix the overarching issues that remain on special teams? We'll be right back.
I don't know, man. Cause I don't think the blockers are any good either. Like the returner is the first step to being good in the return game.
Yeah.
And then you say like, oh, okay, well he doesn't work unless we basically get him an offensive line of blockers. I do think that those are some of those traits, man. Like it's when you're asking a linebacker to pass protect, right? When you're asking a cornerback to basically act like a receiver and get a free release on, split out as like a gunner and stuff like that. When you're asking safeties to, you know, run block for you in the return game, both on kickoff and on punt return, like, if you want to develop those skills, it's going to take a long time if you aren't allocating practice time to it or you're not just buying people who are already good at it. And the Packers do not really go in the veteran free agent market very much in terms of like the – like, hey, this guy's been around for forever and he's 30 years old and he hangs around the league because he's a special teamer. Like, we'd never have those guys, right?
No.
It just does not happen. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is them saying Ken flipped this as a theory, right? Of Goot being scared of all the injuries that happened last year, and then saying like, no, we can't care about special teams if we want to cover our butts at the end of the season, and kind of, you know, backfill and stuff like this. So, I mean, maybe that's a thought. Again, would love to know what those conversations were like about 2026 that they've been having. Yeah. I don't know anything certain.
I don't either. It'll be interesting to see what more comes out of this in the coming days, if anything, or if we're just left in the dark. We still don't know why Kingsley Keke left, so I'm not holding my breath on anything at this point in time. Last but not least, for a team that it seemed like, hey, you know, Matt's coming back. And I thought on the surface, I'm like, maybe Rich leaves, maybe Halfley gets, you know, a head coaching job. Maybe they do something at offensive line coach. It's funny that offensive line coach seems to be like the only thing that is almost remaining, but they have now lost, and you kind of referenced this earlier as well, Jeff Halfley, Rich Bisaccia, Sean Mannion, Ryan Mahaffey, Sean Duggan, Ryan Downard, Derek Ansley, Byron Storer, Nathaniel Hackett, Wendell Davis, Todd Hunt, who is a strength and conditioning assistant. And then in the pro personnel department, John Eric Sullivan and James Campen, who is now the offensive line coach in Pittsburgh. That is a lot. And I might even be missing some, if I'm being honest. I thought I captured everyone, but I might even be missing one or two. That is a lot of people to lose in one offseason, regardless of what anyone thinks of if these people are good or bad at their jobs, or are excited that Bisaccia is leaving, or disappointed that Mannion's leaving, or wish that, you know, Butkus was leaving. That is a lot of people in one offseason to lose. We talked about last year at length. Now, I don't know that there's a Ben Johnson or an Aaron Glenn in this group. I don't even know what I think of Aaron Glenn anymore, but we talked last year at length of like, well, the Detroit Lions are going to be at a huge disadvantage because they lost Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and some assistants. There's going to be a huge brain drain. I don't know that I'm super concerned about it overall, but that is a lot of people to lose in one offseason.
It's just interesting that all those guys left. And as far as we know, they left on their own volition.
Nobody has been fired as far as we know, right? Well, I don't think anyone's been fired.
It hasn't been reported that anyone has been
fired. Correct.
Right? We don't know that. But yeah, we had all this turnover without ever executing a buyout. Don't call them cheap, though. Get your name in the papers.
Yeah. The overarching thought, are you concerned about brain drain, or are you, you know what, it's Matt and Gannon and they'll be fine with those two?
No, because I think Matt's offense is Matt's offense.
Yep.
And that's why I'm at. Halfley left. So the one move on defense that I was surprised by is that they let Derek Ansley leave. Because Derek Ansley has experience coaching the quarter system. People like him, right? Like the guys in the secondary really like him. He's got a really good reputation around the league. It seems like they're keeping Covington. He got multiple interviews to be a DC and stuff like that. Ansley is the only one that I'm like, that one has the potential to actually make the coaching staff worse that he's not here.
I wonder if Babich wasn't available if they would have let him go. I wonder if it was only because they felt like they could get Babich. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. I do not know.
All right, Justice. 2 days in a row. This is awesome. You want to hang out tomorrow too? What any other thoughts before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
I should ask this. Do you have a gut feel? Maybe not. That's even the wrong question, but is there a special teams coordinator that you're currently hoping for? And is there one that you think they actually hire?
I think Marquise Williams makes sense just because he was kept under both Arthur Smith and Raheem Morris. He's the one guy who wasn't fired in 2025 or immediately after the season and doesn't have a job this year still, right? So he's the one guy who fits that mold because he's a free agent right now, but it was because he wasn't retained by Stefanski. It wasn't because the guy who hired him ended up firing him. I think it's probably that route, or Matt's going to hire an NFL guy who probably had some crossover with either his brother, McVay, McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan, like the usual suspects, right? It's going to be someone tapping him and saying, hey, this guy is actually good if you want to give him a shot, because if it's not Williams, you're probably going to have to give someone their first opportunity. Because I don't think Mr. I Don't Talk to Kickers is really keeping tabs on assistant special teams coaches league-wide.
What about Bill Belichick? He's pretty good with special teams. Can you get him in here? You never know what Bill's going to do these days.
No chance. There's no way he does that.
I'm totally kidding.
He'd go back to TV.
Yeah, that's probably true. Justice, I cannot thank you enough. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you messaging me and having this idea. So you're the best. Tell us where we can find all your awesome work.
AcmePackingCompany.com. I got the consensus board on free agents.
I saw that.
Up today. Some interesting comments in there. So if you guys want to check that out, go for it. I'm going to have an update with that about sort of like the young players. Spoiler alert, the Packers don't really give any sort of significant deals to guys who are over like 28 years old. That's not the market that they're going to be in. Goot just said in the press conference last week, 2 weeks ago, that they're not really looking for one-year stopgaps in free agency. They're looking for multi-year problem solvers. Hint, 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 he's talking about young players. So we're going to have an update about sort of like who the young players are in this free agency class, who people rank highly, and, you know, could be potential big swings for the Packers.
You got Monteric Brown on that list?
He is on the list. He is on the list.
He just hits so many things that they usually look for. It hits the sweet spot. I don't know if he ends up in Green Bay or not, but definitely feels like a Green Bay type signing.
He told me to look up his numbers too, and I did. And it is interesting. Monteric Brown, the cornerback from Jacksonville, he is a guy who was basically not good until this year.
Yeah.
And then got good.
Also a Green Bay sort of thing where it was probably in corner is like the number one, like variance where like
super
you can go up and down so quickly. Like if Green Bay signed him to a big deal and he just sucked this year, it wouldn't even surprise me. Or he could even be better. It's weird.
I think the two safe, young, good corners, it's Jalen Watson and Tariq Woolen. And surprise, surprise, they're ranked like top 20 free agents.
Yeah.
So.
And both going to get monster contracts.
18 probably.
The two names that scream Green Bay Packers to me the most are Monteric Brown and Cade Mays, the center for the Panthers. Those just scream first year contract, young, have had solid careers so far, arguably coming off their best year at both spots. Green Bay likes taking gambles on the guy, a la Aaron Banks, you know, Za'Darius Smith. Those are, again, Mays, I'm not a huge fan of. I do like Monteric Brown, but both of them just jump off the page to me as like, these are what Green Bay looks for through and through.
And Mays is like the one guy in between like the gap of like the Ryan cluster and then Linderbaum, right?
Linderbaum, so like, right in the middle. Depending on where Connor McGovern goes, but McGovern's on it, and it would be his third contract. Yeah, older side. So he's like 30. So Cade Mays. So those are the two that just scream out to me. But we will definitely be keeping an eye out for that over at acmepackingcompany.com. You can follow him on social media at JUMOSQ. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. We'll see you guys soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.